You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Ephesians and chapter 4. Ephesians and chapter 4. And in our exercise, looking back into the book of Jeremiah from when the virus attacked us, as it were, and going back. So we're trying to pick up, before we go back into chapter 29, a mood, the movement. So when we get to 29, you're going to know where it's going. So, and we're seeking to try to do that. So as we do that, the toughening realities that we're looking at. So, we are in, if you know the Lord as your Savior, why are we assembled? We're assembled because we're told to be assembled in the presence of God, and here we are in the presence of God. Now, God, what should we expect from God? What should we expect from here? No question. And you don't go by senses, you go by understanding. He's different. He's holy. He's spiritual. Like all the other, everything else that's around us that we can't see, touch, taste, or smell. It's all around us. We're just unequipped for it in our earthly bodies. Therefore, here we are assembled, and just to remind yourself, and God has a wonderful plan for your life, to grow and know. And before you were ever created in the mind of God, he had that plan for you, for me, for each believer. And that's what he did. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been created. You weren't to be created and have something guesstimate of what are we going to do with the people that happened. So it isn't that. There's no guesstimate at all. So it isn't that. God has a wonderful plan. Ephesians and 2 and 10 and all of those things, we share them together. So therefore, that plan has to be worked out. So when we get to come to know the Lord as our Savior, that begins. So the plan can take place, and we have a new life. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus, brand new creations in God's wonderful grace, in the wonderful body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so here we are in the presence of God. Now, what are we doing? And here is instructions. Ephesians 4, you know, verse 12. For the perfecting, completing, finishing off, making so they lack nothing, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the service, like deacon service. And what's the service doing? Well, the service is going to go, we're serving the body of Christ for the edifying of the body of Christ. So each believer adds to the body, each brick adds to the building, each brick adds to the wall, that's what it does, gives the building. Where'd the building come from? Each brick goes into the wall. And we're to have this building process till we all come in the unity, the oneness of the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed, God's word, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, complete, full, finished man, ultimately. Unto the perfect man, unto the measure how much? Of this, how much fullness, how much growing, of the stature, the growth, of the fullness of Christ. So we're supposed to be developing, to be like him, 1 John chapter 3. We're to be like him, that's what's happening. Now, that's what we're doing. So we're all given a wonderful, wonderful life, as we shared other times here. Little children, we're all little children once, and little children have to do what? They have to grow up. And little children aren't meant to stay little children. No one wants them to stay little children. They enjoy them to some measure. until they get older, and then the joy drops down as you go up. So in the process, there is a developing, a growing up. That is the intent of being born again, being born physically. It's the intent of being born again, to grow up. Not till you get saved, you become children, and to grow up. Therefore, but to grow up to what point? To be like him. That's what God's in. What's the family? Children have children to be like them. Verse 14, purpose. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, playing dice for us, gambling, etc., about our lives, our time on earth. It isn't about that. So, if I don't grow up, I'm very vulnerable because I didn't get my P's and Q's straight. I can't read good. I can't count good. I'm easily get me, easily trick me. So I've got to grow, up. And therefore, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up, not just grow. A plant can grow. Growing is one thing. Growing up is a whole nother world. To grow up, to develop, to be a tomato plant in its fullness. We're to grow up. God, wonderful to be saved, new creatures in Christ, children, sons of God, children of God. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to grow up. Verse 15 again, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we're supposed to be growing up. Now, that's the key, a key, to understanding what we've been doing in Isaiah and Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a wonderful, wonderful, dear man of God, prophet. And being a prophet, he has got a wonderful plan for his life, Jeremiah chapter 1 and all that. He has a wonderful plan for Jeremiah's life. And Jeremiah, and that plan has to be worked out. God had a wonderful plan for Ezekiel's wonderful, he's over there in Babylon, a wonderful plan for Ezekiel. To what? To fulfill his wonderful plan. Therefore, over, if you would, to Ezekiel, and in Ezekiel, and in chapter 3, Ezekiel, picking up, please, in verse 7. Here's Ezekiel now. The whole context is wonderful. Picking it up in verse 7. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. That's Ezekiel's, is the prophet to bring the message to the people. For they will not hearken unto me. They won't hear what Ezekiel says because Ezekiel is saying what God has told them to say. So it isn't Ezekiel's giving his thinking about things. It's Ezekiel giving what God is saying, and Ezekiel becomes the mouthpiece, the pen to write. Verse 7. Hearken, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent. That means hard, stiff of neck, very hard, strong, stiff of neck. And hard-hearted, stubborn, strong. And so Ezekiel, what are you up against? You're up against people that are hard-hearted, stiff-necked, hard-forward. They're going to go. They aren't there to play around. They're there to win. They're going into the wrestling match. They're going into the boxing match. They're going into the war. to win. They have no interest in losing, none whatsoever. Therefore, in verse 8, I have made thy face, this is Ezekiel, strong against their faces, and their forehead, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. So God is duplicating, like with Moses, the Pharaoh, the magicians made all kinds of miracles, and God complimented them and counted them. That's what God did. So here they are, strong. What are you going to do to make your message? I'm going to make my messenger stronger and harder than they are. Hang on. And verse 9, as an adamant is a sharp point like a diamond. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. So God has equipped the prophets to go right smack against what he's, the prophets are there because people need to be corrected and need to be warned because they're going in the wrong direction. And God enables the prophets to be able to perform, to produce everything that he wants. He wants to say something to Israel in this case, and he's saying it. And no one is going to stop Jeremiah, and no one's going to shut up Ezekiel. They just aren't going to do it. They wish they could do it, but they can't do it. Can't do it. Now, so having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, so here we are, and that's the prophets. And here's the going back. Our plan, God's plan for the believing heart, right here, right now, that's where in your presence, God, is to grow up, is to develop. That's what we're doing. We aren't sitting here looking, trying to solve the world's problems. We're trying to get in tune with touch who can solve the world's problems. That's what we're doing. God can do something about it. I can't, you can't, God can. And God is doing it. Therefore, here's the prophets. And they say, well, all of us are left out. That's right. If God didn't call you to do that, then you don't do it. If you do it, you won't do very well. That's why so many people in wrong places don't ever succeed. And they're trying to be something God never intended them to be. And they try to do it. And it just doesn't happen. So God, here we are looking. And so we aren't going to be able to say we're prophets because none of us fit. We're just us little human beings, part of the believers in the body of Christ. Okay, having said that, now what do we know? Well, what about us? Now, God, you deal with each plan for our life, and you make it come out just like it should. For the prophets, they had one assignment, and you equipped them and made it possible for them to be invincible in what they were doing. Invincible. You couldn't touch them, even if you wanted to. And they had all their problems, but God made them like that. But the rest. So what do we know? So let's put it together. God, you're going to go and have a wonderful plan for our life, and that plan is going to be based on your will, your word, and the conditions and character of the world we live in at a given time. And God, so here we are, believers, we get saved. We could have got saved in the Ming Dynasty. We didn't. We got saved now. So God, over to Romans, I'll do it, take time. Over to Romans chapter 8. I could say you know all these things and move faster by about 3 seconds, but Romans chapter 8. We did it the other day, you remember it. God, what do we know? You tell us very distinctly, clearly, as believers, picking up, please, in the light of the wonderful context, verse 36. As it is written, 8:36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. we are recounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, that isn't Jeremiah. That isn't Ezekiel. Because they have a different assignment. And God makes the assignment be fulfilled. If he wants to go and knock down a big tree, he knocks down a big tree. If he wants to cut a branch off a bush, he cuts the branch off a bush. Different than cutting a big tree. God does what he does. I want to understand that. So therefore, we are accounted as sheep. Remember Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone what? Astray we have turned what? Everyone to his own way. We're sheep. And sheep are terrible without a shepherd. And therefore, here's the sheep. We're all sheep. Now, God, we get saved. You're the shepherd of the sheep. But then you tell us we're sheep in the midst of wolves and asps and everything else out there. And the odds, the obstacles, the opponents are overwhelming. That's right. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, boy, they're super strong. But we aren't. We're just sheep out there because we represent the shepherd. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross. And therefore, the shepherd takes care of the sheep. The sheep could get clipped. They may not get clipped. Jumping ahead, you don't have to turn there. Revelation chapter 13. What do we know in the days of the Antichrist? God is going to deliver the Christians, the believers, no Christians at that point, they're believers. And here they are, believers, and they're going to go, and God is going to give them over to death. That's what he's going to do. He's going to let them all die. Persecution. God's going to do it. God's going to let them do it. But he didn't do that with Jeremiah or Ezekiel. No, he didn't. It was a different thing. God has different assignments, different times, different things he does. And as I'm growing and growing up, and we are growing up, we want to learn. We want to do that so that we can adjust. And so here, chapter 8, if you're still there, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So God, what are you going to do? Well, they're going to go and do whatever to you. But I'm going to keep you as long as I wish, even till I come. And we're believers in the body of Christ. We're at the end of the age, Laodicea, not in Revelation 2, but Revelation 3, the end. Laodicea, the end, the apostasy, 5 minutes of 12. That's where we are. And we're there. It's our turn. In Acts 2, they weren't there. No, sir, they had a whole other atmosphere. We got a different atmosphere. Hang on, it'll come. Now, having said that, so God, you're going to go and make us more than conquerors. Even though we're sheep and we aren't wolves, we aren't giants, we aren't able to go and do everything. No, but God, what are you going to do? I'm going to make it so that you're going to be my witness, Acts 1:8. I'm going to give you power, authority, dynamic, and all of that. I'm going to give you that so that you can be my witness, so that when you go to work, when you go to school, when you get out of bed, when you go to bed, all during the night, you're mine. You're my witness. That's what you are. You're mine. And I tag you, and angels tag you. The world may not know the difference, but the rest of us do, he said. And I'm showing you. What am I showing? I'm showing sheep that get saved in a most wonderful way. And they can get persecuted and everything. Like they are in the world, other parts of this world. Madagascar, the islands, Malaysia, and all those things. They cut off their heads. That's what they do. We aren't there yet, anyway. So now, in the light of that, so God has all kinds of different things to do. That's my point, to do. So God, if for your life, God's going to work whatever he wants. And if he wants you to live, I expected to die yesterday, 5 years, 10 years ago. And I don't know, I'm still here. What can I tell you? That's all I can tell you. I didn't do it. Yeah, I planned on doing it. I had everything set up, and I told Jeanette, this is what you do, and this is what you do, and I laid back down and said, I'm ready, and what can I tell you? But it wasn't God's time, do you understand? And that's for your life. Your life has to be worked out in God's will. And whether you get crippled, you have to have a transplant of a new spine, a new back, a new bones, I don't know, whatever. Whatever you're gonna go through. And it's gonna be God's wonderful working in your life if you're trusting Him, and you're gonna get there. And all of it's gonna be wonderful. But you gotta do that, you gotta grow up. So Jeremiah, back to him and Ezekiel, they had to grow up. And what God put them through, what God puts us through at our given level, at our given stage, so we aren't sitting there trying to read the Bible as if, well, that isn't for me. No, but the God who is working in that particular section of the Bible is the same God that's working in you. So when you read chapter 15, whatever it is, that's God's chapter. And the God who says that is the God that you're in the presence of, and He's doing what He's doing in your life. And you don't need to relate it just like this. The pieces don't always have to fit like this. I have to understand the God who's out working each will in His own way in the body of Christ in a wonderful way. Therefore, having said that little bit, over to Jeremiah and chapter 7. And if I may, pick you up in thought, chapter 7, if I can. We'll pick it up. Chapter 7, remember, the Israelites in Jerusalem and Judah and that, they were counting on the temple. And remember, everything is going downhill, but they adjust to the new adjustment downhill, the worst conditions, worsening conditions. They just keep adjusting like we're going to do in our country. We're just going to keep adjusting down to whatever it is. That's what we're going to do. And we'll be content with whatever the next thing is. May not like it. And if you have history, that'll be a little harder for you, human history. But if you're young and you don't know any better, all you'll know is this is all that ever was. This is the way the world is. No, it hasn't been the way the world is. You've got Independence Day coming up. So, chapter 7, verse 4. What are they saying? Trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. And you're counting on that building, which Nebuchadnezzar has taken the stuff out of it, but you're counting on that building. That's what you're counting on. Because God would never let his house, get hurt, would He? No. And they were wrongly looking at their thing. They said, just like you said, if I had a special thing around my neck or something, and I had a thing, and I'm trusting that. They were trusting the temple. That's what they were doing. Trusting the thing, because they had a temple. I mean, we're Jews. We're Christians. We aren't cultists. We aren't communists. We're Christians. That doesn't give you anything. Christ does. Christians is just a general word more often than not. Now, chapter 7. Picking up, please. That's the chapter 7, verse 16. Now, remember they're getting harder, like Pharaoh's heart. The more God does, the harder the heart gets. The more God tries to help, the more the strong, stiff-necked forehead gets very harder and harder. And therefore, chapter 7, verse 16, therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear. I will not hear thee. Jeremiah, don't bother talking to me about these people. We got to help them. We got to care. We got to have mercy. Don't do that. I don't want to hear that. Now remember now, we're looking because they're trying to grow up and God is going and taking these awesome times to help Jeremiah grow up, to grow up. And so in the process of all of it, he's being educated. Now God, Jeremiah has hard, the hard forehead, unbelief, stronger. Is there any hope? Like in Revelation, 9 and that 16 and that. They aren't going to repent. There is no repentance. You'd say there'd be terrible judgments. You would think they want to repent, wouldn't you? But they don't. They don't. Now, God knows that. We, humans, that are believers, are supposed to be growing up with our Father. Now, what's the purpose? So that God, you want us to know. And without taking time to go back there in Colossians, etc., what did you want? You want us to know a knowledge of your will and your understanding. We want to understand the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to what? Help you understand God and enjoy Him. To be able to enjoy as my Father. I never understood my Father when I was little, and I failed later in life to take advantage of it all. But I did understand His work. He worked two jobs to try to feed me and all those different things. And a process of that. I understand that. I do. And I'm glad I did a little bit. I did. And when I even got a job in California Engineer and all that, I sent money home every month to them. I owed it to them in my mind. I owed them. I sent money home. Wow. I owed him. I understood what he did and how he did it and sacrificed. Wow. And I understood that better. God, what do you want? I want the believing heart to grow up. To grow up. For what? I want you to be able to work with me. I want you to see what I see and understand with your heart. And as you journey down the corridor of time, I want you to be able to be on the same page with me. The people are set against me. You need to understand that and not keep trying to pacify, well, they're nice and everything's okay. It isn't okay. In the light of heaven, in the light of the angels, it's not okay. You understand that? Do you think heaven understands what's happening on planet Earth now and says, well, it isn't too bad? Do you know an angel apart from a bad guy that's going to lie to you? The good guys, do they know what's happening? Sure they do. It's an awesome thing happening. And God hates it. But we can't because we don't see it. And we aren't on the same page. We're little kids. Little kids trying to grow up with our Father. And we're reading. We're trying to understand. Father, that's what we're doing. So we're trying to grow up so that we can understand. And that's what we have to do. I have to see it like my Father does. Well, I won't unless I keep growing. And here's Jeremiah going through all this. Over if I can. You have it in chapter 11. In chapter 11, watch it again as we did all these things. And in chapter 14, chapter 11, verse 14. 11:14. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. I'm not going to listen to them. So that's hard, isn't it? Oftentimes we're busy praying. We say, we got to pray. Well, at least we'll pray. Pray. You know, you don't have to believe to pray. You don't have to honor God to pray. You can say God or Zeus or Mercury or some other thing, whatever you want to do, transcendental meditation. You do it on, and you can say what you want. It's just a bunch of words from us. And the bad guys will hear it and use it more often than not. God, what do we need to do? What people need to do, they need to believe, don't they? They need to believe. You need to take the medicine, not talk about it and wish for it. Take it. Thank God. Believe him. But people don't believe. And then we tell them everything, but they don't. What do they need to do? Believe God. Believe what he says. You need to be saved. Etc., etc. Now, over, if I can, picking up, please. Oh, in chapter 14. And God says it, so we have to catch up with God. And you say, well, what kind of person are you? You never pray for me. You never do this. You never do that. You never do. You're nasty. Yeah, okay, okay. What my prayer gonna do? You have to believe. And if you don't wanna believe, and it's right now, there's no reason anyone can't believe right now. Anywhere in this whole world, anyone can believe if they want to. Oh, no, we'll talk about it. No, believe. Believe means you attach yourself to the pew. You're sitting on it. You believe. It's an active verb. You're believing. Wow. So God, chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 11, if I can. I'm picking up. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to do it. They need to believe. That's what people need to see. They don't need to see accommodating. Well, if you did this little bit, that'll get you closer to heaven. It won't get you any closer to heaven. You got to receive Christ as your Savior. You don't get closer to heaven and closer to God only when you get receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't get any of that. So we people, that's a, nice. It's just nice. We'll care and love you, and all that's a good. All those are good things. They're human things. But that isn't where God's coming from. And that's what you got to grow up to be like the Father. My Father, your Father, doesn't think like that. Us little guys do, but he doesn't think like that. And growing up is hard. Growing up is a hard thing. The realities of it are hard. You think of where you'd have to go on planet Earth, with the church and apostasy and all those things happening, to find it. People aren't growing up. They aren't seeing it from God's standpoint. Think of John the Baptist. I remember John the Baptist saying to them, he went out and offered them ice cream and everything, and he offered them ice cream, and he said, if you just come and listen to my little message, I'll give you some ice cream, and like they used to give out to come to church, goldfish, you know, and you do all of these things, and you can have this. Did John the Baptist do that? He said, you hypocrites and vipers, full of dead man's bones. That's what people need. We don't have to say it in a bad way, we need to understand it in a good way so that our mind isn't communicating tolerance. It's all right to do and think like you are. You need to believe and get saved. And I may not say that, I may not be able to say it, I may not be able to give you a track, but that's how I think. I need to understand that so that when I'm out around, and all of us, we're just comfortable with taking God's position. All the people around us need to get saved in more or less in some form or fashion, as it depends on a lot of things. And God, we're just representing you, but we're representing you, and we aren't conforming and we aren't pacifying. Well, they're religious, at least they have a Bible. Having a Bible and they went to church, isn't that good? But you weren't believing. And you're gonna die in your sins. You just weren't believing. But, no, you didn't believe. But I did all these wonderful things. It doesn't matter what you did. In me dwelleth what? No good thing. No flesh shall glory in his presence. So God, here we are looking now. And verse 11, verse 12. When they fast, I will not hear this cry. When they offer burnt offerings and oblations, sacrifices, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, by famine, by the pestilence, etc. Then said I, O our Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine. That won't happen. But I will give you assured peace in this place where stay in Jerusalem, relax. Nebuchadnezzar's never going to come in. And they're giving him the false prophet. And you remember, hold your finger here to just keep you awake a little more. Over to chapter 5. Or chapter 2 even. It's my page stopped there. Chapter 2. And you'll notice, we remember we did it last time or so. Verse 25. What were they doing? They were caught up. I'll just pick the end of it. But thou sayest, there is no hope, that they said, and there's no hope for us, so don't bother telling us anything. No hope for us. For I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. Idolatry. You love idolatry, not God. You love idolatry. That's what they did. Not only did they love idolatry, remember, chapter 5. And picking up, please, in chapter 5, verse 31 again. And the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear witness by their means, that their control, their hands, handling things, subduing, managing, counseling. And my people love to have it so. They love idolatry, and they love all the junk they're getting and hearing. That's why they love it. They love all the stuff that isn't even true. They love it. Now, what do you do for a people that are caught up in idolatry and love everything that's false? What do you do for them? Well, we got to help them, pray for them. Well, go ahead. As long as they think like that, and their heart's hard, you aren't going to go anywhere. No, they got to believe. And they're either going to believe or they aren't. And that's where God's coming from. Now, believers aren't that. If you went everywhere, mostly all over the world, oh, we'll have a prayer meeting, we'll pray for all these things. Well, God bless us as we try to do that. But we already know what God is telling us from the books, what he says in his word. He isn't going to do that. He knows where they are. He knows where the kid is, the bad guy, the good girl. He knows where they are. He knows what they think. We don't. Why aren't they saved? Have you ever asked that question? Why aren't you a believer now? Because I don't want to be. I don't want to be a believer. Then you won't be. So I'm going to make you a believer. You don't want to be a believer. So be no believer. I'm being an unbeliever. Therefore, and they love to have it so. So back over chapter 14 in the process. So in chapter 14, sliding if I can in the light of all that, the prophets are saying it. They love it so. So what are we doing? I'm trying to help you and myself see where God's coming from. And God is not honoring or tolerating what we think he is. We think he is, but if anything was going like we think, we want it to be, the world wouldn't be where it is and our country wouldn't be where it is. It's going rapidly the other way, and they're setting it. You aren't going to great reset and all that stuff. It's going to be. It has to be. It's worldwide. The disease is everywhere, and they're playing with the disease. Now, so therefore, in verse 14, and the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision, a divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. And that's what they're doing. I don't want you. Don't understand. And if people so get sober, if I think I can halfway make it, I'm not that bad, right? I'm not that bad as the other guy. No. So I'm all right. I mean, it can't all be wrong. Or could they? And so I'm going to cover. And I have to get to, I want to be a testimony and say, listen, I've said it to be. I said, you can believe whatever you want. You can think, believe, go, do what you want. But you won't get saved unless you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it won't make any difference where you go, what you say, what you do. It won't make a bit of difference because you're going to be able to do it with comfortableness probably, and you'll find some niche that you feel comfortable, and that's what you're going to do. And you aren't going to go. It's not going to happen. So God, Jeremiah, grow up. It's a hard lesson, isn't it? Grow up. My father, your father, my father, isn't like that. He's telling us. He's telling us. It's a falsehood. It's false. It's not true. So therefore, if I can, over if I can, in the light of that. So we want to go and say, live and let live and all of those different things that we try to do. And God help us in trying to make everyone just feel a little better about life and everything. And so therefore, God, here we are looking, and we're going to go, and God hates, they hated our Lord, they're going to hate the believing heart. God said that. And there's nothing, that's what God, the sheep are going to be hated because of the shepherd. John 15:18. The sheep are going to be hunted, herded, haunted because of the shepherd. They're sheep. They belong to the shepherd. And the wolves and the Satan himself is not content with any of that. They love darkness rather than light, and light rather than darkness. And they don't want to see. They don't want to see the opposite. They don't want to see it. They turned it upside down like Isaiah 5:20. Darkness for light, light for darkness. Good for evil, evil for good. They turn everything upside down. So that's why we can live so comfortably. And you try to fix anything, try to tell them. They don't want to hear that. And you have to understand that. Otherwise, we could, all the books that are being written and the things that are being said in a good way to analyze the problems and the things that are wrong. And if you read those books, you'd have a, you got it. They got it. They got all the facts. They're right on target for the most part. And you agree. But who's going to, what can we do? We don't do anything. We don't do anything. So having said everything and do everything, here we are plowing along. And God said, they hate me. And the darkness isn't going to want light. We shared that 1,000 times. Darkness and death doesn't want life. And the Jews back then in that day, they loved Judaism and the Talmud. That's what they wanted. They had the Bible, but they chose not to go by what it said. They chose to go by the interpretation of the Talmud and all those different things and Judaism, and that's what they're doing. And they rejected Christ. They crucified Christ. Why? Because they didn't agree. And Protestantism, Catholicism, all of it is so corrupted. It is so corrupted that it's, Lord, we aren't even looking. So when we say, well, that isn't what it says. That isn't what God is going to do. Well, it doesn't matter what you say. Because I love darkness rather than light. I don't want any light to enter my little life in any way, shape, or form. So we've got to grow up. And Israel has to grow up. And, over little point, over Matthew, Numbers 23. Just to remind you, and that's apply it for us too. Numbers chapter 23, Balaam, Balak. Numbers 23, Picking up, please, directly, time's sake, verse 9. What are you going to say? For from the top, from the top, Balaam, from the top of the neck of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people, that's Israel, shall dwell alone, and they shall not be reckoned among the nations. And no one can have Israel. Israel can never get it. That's what you know, anti-Semitism, etc. God will not let the Israelites get absorbed into the system. As a nation, they can't do it. God will not let it happen. Why? It's his nation. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's his nation. And no one else can have it. It may be corrupt, and God will judge it in the tribulation and exalt it in the millennium, but no one can have it. Now, application. No one can have you if you're saved. No one can have you. Mother, father, brother, sister, the devil himself. No one can have you if you're saved. You belong to him. And either you get there or not, but that's what heaven's going to be. We'll be saved as by fire. Wood, hay, and stubble by fire, nothing else. But we're going to be saved. No one else can have Israel, and no one else can have you. How's that for going to bed? No one else can have you.